Hallelujah. Glory to God. Something happens when I call his name. The Bible says demons tremble. Something happens when I call his name. That's why we don't want to use his name in vain. When I call his name, I mean it. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I really mean it when I say Jesus. Hallelujah. God, I thank you. There's a little something going on when I say Jesus. It's intentional. May not know what else to say, but Jesus is enough. Covers all the bases. Hallelujah. I'm just glad I know him. Hallelujah. Well, let's get ready to go into the word this morning. Since we already calling on his name. I want you to go to Luke chapter 24, please. Luke chapter 24. Excuse me. I'm going to try to work through this today. I had a little congestion, but it's going to be all right. Hallelujah. It's going to be all right. Luke chapter 24. I want to read a little bit. Starting at verse 1. Before I give you my subject, I need to give you some context. So we're going to read a little bit in Luke, and then I'll provide you with the context, and we'll go from there. Thank you. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. For context, you all, you realize that this is Easter. This is the real Easter. That we you know, this is what we talk about here. Because this is the first day of the week, and they're coming to the grave knowing that Jesus had died, he had been buried. So they come into the grave, bringing the spices. Now you notice they came with spices that they had prepared, so that they were coming to find a body. I'm just trying to make sure that we all in the text together. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. So they didn't find what they were looking for. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. As they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, so the women are afraid. They bow down. And the angels say unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? You looking for the wrong thing in the wrong place. But that ain't my subject. Verse 6. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. So now they go back and tell the story that they just experienced. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Man, what y'all talking about? The women are always talking about something. Can't believe y'all came back with a story like that. Well, no, I'm just saying what the apostles are saying here. Because they said, look, I want you to understand this. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. and they believe them not. Oh, they just talking. I don't know what they're saying. Verse 12. Then arose Peter and ran unto the grave or the sepulcher. And stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. So Peter said, you know, I heard what they said, but I'm going to see for myself. Amen. Now I'll give you my topic. Because my topic deals with the rest of the scriptures that we haven't read, so that's going to be our context. Walking with the King. I want to talk about walking with the King. Because before we go into the next part of the scripture, I want you to see what has happened. What has occurred? A lot of people have been disappointed. A lot of people have faced things. Stuff didn't turn out the way they thought it was. Things look real bad. It's just women talking, saying this, and I'm perplexed. I don't know what to do. What's happening? What's happening in my world? It seems to be upside down right now. And you want to talk about walking with the King? Let's look at verse 13. The Bible says, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. Are you there? Yes, sir. All right, I want to make sure you had the text too now. So and they talked together of all these things which had happened. What things? All of the things that had happened about Jesus. So they're discussing what they had seen and heard about Jesus. Verse 15, it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. So they're discussing what happened with Jesus, and Jesus shows up. The King may not look like how you expect. I'm going to work with this a little bit because I know that there are some of us facing situations now, and you don't think the King is with you. But he is really walking with you. He just don't look like you expect. Pastor, I need some text for that. Well, Hebrews 13:2 would be a real good start. The Bible says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Watch how you're treating folk. Matthew 25:38 is pretty good too. He says, when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the King said, and the King shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. So the King is walking with you and you don't know it's him. Because the King may not always look like you expect. Verse 17. And he said unto them, he being Jesus, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? He said, no, what y'all talking about? Remember I told you our behavior indicates our belief. Notice what Jesus says. What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk? But wait a minute. Here's the behavior and are sad. Oh, I know you're walking somewhere. I know you're going somewhere. But why are you sad getting there? See, because out of the abundance of the heart. Oh, y'all with me. There we go. There we go. Verse 18. And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast not known the things which have come to pass there in these days? Man, where you from? Do you know what's going to happen in these last few days? The talk is all over the town. Everybody know what's going on. Where you been? Let me share something with you, though. Jesus don't ask us questions because he doesn't know the answer. He asks us questions so we can recognize our condition. For those of us that have a real relationship with God and you go in prayer and you're talking with him, God will ask you a question. Let me let you know, it ain't that he don't know the answer. It's, do you know your condition? Oh, well, Pastor, let's see if I'm in the book. And he said unto them, what things? What y'all talking about? Let me give you a chance to explain. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. So your condition is you don't really believe Jesus is who he said he is. Because he's just a mighty prophet in word and in deed. See, Jesus don't ask the question because he don't know the answer. It's so you can see your condition. See, you and I will inevitably be faced with the challenge of accepting or denying what Jesus says about himself. Some of us are in situations right now, and we know the scripture says that he's our provider. But my situation looks like it's challenging what he said. So you have the opportunity to either believe or deny it. So Jesus says, what do you believe? What things? Tell me your condition. And you want to elaborate about your situation because out of the abundance of the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So you really describing the condition of your heart. Not that he didn't know, it's so. Just making sure we all together. There's a world of difference between a prophet and Jesus being the Son of the living God. Let me ask you something. Do you and I really see Jesus being able to handle the situations we face on a daily basis? Or is it simply something reserved for a Sunday morning at church? Oh, he's God. How about on Tuesday? I mean, you know, you got the news on Monday. You had a little time to meditate on it. It's marinating now. What do you believe? Or is he just, watch this. Can you just break it down? He's less than God now. He's just a prophet. You see what happened to him? He was God all the time that they walked with him. He was alive until he died, until he was buried. See, now all of a sudden, you got another confession. Let's just stay here for a moment. Verse 20. He says, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Why are we so fixated on bad news? We can tell you everything that happened is bad. See, in their mind, this was the end. So they were fixated on the end. We know about him being in that tomb. We saw him being crucified. We saw what happened to him. That's where we at right now. See, we're good at recounting facts. It's confessing truth that's the challenge. Let me say that again. We're good at recounting facts. See, it was a fact that he died. It was a fact that he was buried. But the truth is, he said, I'm getting up again. We can recount the facts, but can you accept the challenge of confessing the truth? I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. Verse 21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. This is what we was believing. Man, we about to get straight. He about to straighten things out. My situation about to get better. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is what we trusted. Beside all this, this is the day he said it would happen. I'm stuck dealing with this. On my way to Jerusalem now. Oh, no, you got to see this thing. Yes, sir. Cleophas is like, let me break it down for you. You don't know what's going on? Man, we was trusting. We've been in bondage to these Romans all of this time. We were expecting this Jesus of Nazareth to be our Redeemer. He was going to fix it for Israel. We were believing this thing. We trusted him. You know how we said, I was believing God. No, you wasn't. You was believing what you wanted to believe. You wouldn't believe what he said. You believe what you heard. And what you heard is what you wanted to hear. God said, I'm going to use you. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, you're going through a little something now. He using you. See, you believed it was going to be something else. You saw your name in lights. The Bible says, so prophets persecuted they the prophets. He said, I want to use you. Use me, Lord. Use me. Hallelujah. Because you thought it was another way. See, you heard what you wanted to hear. I trusted. This was the way it's going to be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's going to use me. You want everybody to know you're going to be used. Mm-hmm. God going to make sure you know you're going to be used. Oh, hallelujah. Then he says, and beside all of this, in other words, on top of this, today is the third day since these things were done. It's been 3 days. And stuff getting old now. 3 days. 3 whole days dealing with this. Watch this. I'm recounting the facts for 3 days. That's all I got now is facts because I really didn't believe before. And you know what we end up doing? Rehearsing the facts over and over and over. This is what the doctor said. I don't know. I know the bill is due. Time is running out. Now, we just recounting the facts over and over and over. But what did he say? Don't matter no more. We got the facts. See, I'm talking about walking with the king. Verse 22. Well, hold on. Let me work on this a little bit. He says, and besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. So sometimes we hear what we want to hear and not what Jesus really said. You know why? We're so consumed with how we see it benefiting us. See, whatever God says, and I had to look at this. Whatever God does is good. I want just slow that one for a minute. Whatever God does is good. But it may not feel good to you. It pleased God, so it was good to bruise Jesus. But it didn't feel good to Jesus. Whatever God does is good. You may not like it, but it's good because God is doing it. And he is. See, there's some things that we need to settle. Okay. Let me fix this for you. There's some of you all, let me tell you what God has said. He's spoken to you about wealth. He's spoken to you about using you to do some mighty things. And all of a sudden, it seemed like the bottom falls out of your finances. Okay, well, wait a minute. Let's see how this works here. Let's see if maybe we can understand this whole principle that God is operating by. So the bottom falls out of my finances, but you said you want to use me, and I'm going to be wealthy. He's bringing me into a wealthy place. He's giving me power to get wealth. He's wanting me to, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. You know, we got all of the prosperity scriptures. Hallelujah, glory to God. But what you don't understand is, okay, God is saying, I'm going to teach you how to become wealthy. No. Because this ain't about how to become wealthy and going to a seminar. This is about how to become wealthy and, okay, you can walk past the window and you don't have to buy it because you have it. See, because right now we really think we're ready for wealth, but you really not because you will blow it on everything that's in front of you. You haven't learned the discipline of have. Some of us, we need to learn to save because it's a discipline. Yes. I need to save every month. I need to know what it's like to save something. Why? Because you need to learn that it's okay to have something without spending it. Because you never going to become wealthy if you can't learn to have something without spending it. Well, you know, that's what sales are for. Sales, that's really not a sale. It's an enticement. So now God is saying, okay, I want to bring you into a wealthy place where you can learn to be a blessing. And you like, yeah, be a blessing to me. The world is bigger than you. There are people who what you spend now is what they would love to have. I don't know how I got there, but let me get back to my text. You like I said, it amazes me. And then you could ask people one question. What you going to be wealthy for? Oh, no. You're not ready. You have no clue. Do you really think God's going to bless you like that and you have no clue? How is it? Why? Because then you're subject to giving everything away into this foolishness and it doesn't advance the kingdom of God. What happened to the people who want to advance God's kingdom? The Bible says Abraham was very rich. You think God got a problem with you being rich? Mm-mm. What you going to do with it, though? How's it going to help his kingdom? Or is it going to build yours? What king will give you money to build your kingdom inside his? That don't make sense. He's not going to fund your kingdom. Verse 22. Y'all got me, see there? So Cleophas is still back giving the facts. Verse 22, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. Man, they shocked us. Came back with them kind of stories. You wouldn't believe what they said. Can you imagine Jesus is walking with them just listening? You notice he ain't saying that. Now we just walking. How much stuff are we telling God he ain't saying nothing? Because you don't get it. That's why I don't understand. People say, well, you know, I'm going into prayer. And you blasting with all of this stuff you got to say. Jesus still ain't said nothing. You know what he said? What thing? Tell me what's going on. I'm going to give you a chance. Brr, brr, brr. Almost as though we need to inform you about stuff you don't even know about. And that's what we do in prayer. Like we got to inform God about stuff he don't know about. Really? Look at this. Let's go back to the text. So now these women, they made us astonished when they went to the grave. Verse 23, and when they found out his body, man, you wouldn't believe it. They didn't even find the body. They came saying, they had also seen a vision of angels. And the angel said he was alive. Now, this is what they're telling Jesus. So, wait a minute. Everything that Jesus said would happen, happens. And we still sometimes just don't get it. I mean, isn't this everything he said? Let me ask you something. Just for a moment, take the time to really rehearse what Jesus said to you. You may be facing a situation now, but I want to know, what did he say to you before you got in it? Remember, he said something to them before they got in the situation. He said, the Son of Man is going to be turned over to Gentiles. They're going to crucify him, they're going to kill him, and he's going to raise again on the third day. This is before they got the facts. What did God say to you before you got the facts? I know you're dealing with the facts now. You're rehearsing them. It's what I got to deal with. So some of us are sitting here. We know the end of the month is coming up. We got things we got to do. Things that got to be paid. Things that's got. Oh, you're rehearsing the facts. But what did he say before? What did he really say? Not what you think you heard. See, today it's not about us rushing out of here. We want to walk with the King. So now, my next question, what did he mean when he said it? What do you mean, Pastor? I'm learning God says what he means, and he means what he says. What did he say? Because we heard something, but what did he say? Is it the same thing that he meant? Because remember, they thought, even in what Jesus said, they thought it meant he was going to fix things for Israel. So we get disappointed in God because things don't turn out the way we thought. But is that really what he said anyway? Look at all of your disappointments with God. Was it because God didn't come through for you, or was it because you was believing the wrong thing? See, I'm talking about being honest and walking with the King. See, trust him to do what he said despite what it may look like now. Because if I could just get back to what he said, it don't matter what it looked like now. Look at verse 24. This is really interesting. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre or the grave and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. What's interesting is they said, but you know, they went to the grave and they found just like, you know, just like what he had said, but they didn't see him. You do know they're talking to him now, right? You do know the him they talking about, they talking to. I believe sometimes, Minister Hall, is what happened is we don't realize we're talking to the solution of our issue right there. It ain't about what's going on with it. We're talking. See, God is the solution. So can you imagine that they're recounting or rehearsing a problem to the solution? And Jesus is, see, you want to, see, people wonder, what is Jesus like? You want to talk about patience? Because I'd have been like, shut up. Oh, y'all, just shut up. I mean, you know, like, I'd have done something to him or something, you know. But look at Jesus, how patient he was to walk. Watch this. He walked with them. He didn't leave them. He don't leave us. Even when we ain't got it. After, I mean, okay, he don't got up from the grave. What else he got to do? Verse 25. Okay, we good. I had to check my time. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. I want to share something with you. The scriptures are our basis for trusting God, not our experiences. The scriptures are our basis for trusting God, not our experiences. Up until this point, they have rehearsed their experiences. We were astonished. We thought that this was going to happen. All our experiences, not once did they say, it is written. Their whole basis was their experience. If we are not careful when it comes to trusting God, we would launch out on our experiences instead of what the scriptures say. What did the word say? Well, you know, I'm just, well, past time, this is what happened to me. And what does the word say? Amen. We don't even want to look at it. Dude, how many of us, when we're going through something, we get in the word and find the answer? I'm about to really rock somebody's world. The first thing we say is, you know, let's go pray. Why? Don't you know that there's a book full of all the answers? What if you could get the answer and just speak the answer instead of you going to pray? He said, I gave you all the answers. Oh, let's pray about it. See, we want to be deep because this is our way. Not God's way. This is our way. Okay, we'll just pray about it. Lord, what you saying? What you saying? If you open the book. I mean, hold on. Let me talk to the parents for a minute. What about parents when your kids come to you and they ask you something and you tell them? And then they ask you again. And then they ask you again. Girl, you better get away from him before I hurt you. Don't you ask me that again. Okay, wait a minute. God wrote 66 books with answers. All, whatever we're going through, full of answers. But we want to be deep and get some spiritual answer based on our experiences instead of the scriptures. So these guys are walking with their experiences, not knowing that the answer is with them. So Jesus said, fools, so slow to believe. Are we slow? We slow? Come on now, somebody help me out. Are we slow? I know y'all don't want to hear that, but are we slow? Lord, help us. We slow. We ain't getting it. Because we're not in the word. Look at this. Look. Watch what Jesus does here. Verse 26. He says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter in his glory? Verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. All right, newsflash for somebody. They didn't have no New Testament. So Jesus is all in the Old Testament. But, you know, because some folks say, well, you know, that the Old Testament is outdated, you know, since Christ came. Guess what he started at? Because it wasn't no new. They were still writing the new one because he had just got up. You got to realize, he just got up that day. So he took the entire Old Testament and said, let me show you something. It's all talking about me. But notice what he did. He used the scriptures. Not their experiences. Not your disappointments. Not, this is what I want. You already slow. Just use my word. Watch this. Verse 28. And they drew nigh unto the village. Whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. Did you get that? Jesus is like, I can go somewhere else, you know. And they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. I believe Jesus is waiting on the invitation from us. All along, he's been with us. Are you recognize him yet? Is it open enough that you'll invite him? See, he made as though he would have gone further until an invitation came to stay. Okay, Lord, I'm slow. I don't miss it. I don't mess up some stuff. But you don't rock my world now. Can you please stay here? Can you just please stay right here? Whatever we got to do, just stay. That's all I know. Just stay. Yes. Look at this. You know, and I was thinking about the Revelations 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. It's interesting. I'll get back with that in a minute. But he said, and will sup with him and he with me. Verse 30. I'm almost finished. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. Verse 31, and their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. Mighty interesting. Now, walk all of this time talking. Jesus starts to expound with them on the scriptures and they're seeing from Moses to all the way through the Old Testament testimonies about who he is. But something happened when they break the bread. What's the deal on the breaking of the bread? You see, when you break bread, it meant fellowship. The king was fellowshipping with him. And when Jesus began to fellowship with him, they recognized who he was. I'm going to tell you something. Fellowship is based on relationship. Tell me any person you don't know that you fellowship with. Oh, that was so good. That was good. We don't fellowship with anybody we don't know. So all of a sudden, Jesus breaks bread to fellowship with them. And their eyes were open. Wait a minute, what are you saying? Well, they didn't know him, Pastor. No. You're missing it. Because this, remember the Last Supper? Jesus broke bread there. Boy, he seems to be breaking bread like somebody I remember. Could it be? And all of a sudden, when he breaks the bread and blesses it and gives to them, their eyes are open. Because we fellowshipping with the God that I remember from before. Now I see what he meant in the scriptures. See, it boils down to fellowship. And fellowship is based on relationship. So all of a sudden, the relationship that they have with Christ is coming out in the fellowship. Saints, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of things that you can do. Folks can pray, and you can fast, and you can do all. But you know what? If we don't fellowship with one another, you're not going to see the fullness of who God is. You're not going to ever get that. Because it takes fellowship to demonstrate who Christ really is through all of us. You can get a perspective of who he is by yourself, but you're supposed to get that and bring it to the rest of us so all of us could have that and share in it. Fellowship is sharing. Fellowship ain't us just getting together and eating per se. It's us being together. The Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. When's the last time somebody rubbed some of the rust off you? Some of us, now we're going to end service today. And, if you standing in front of that door back there with Al, you might get ran over. Because folks gotta get out of here. Why is that? Does it take a crisis for us to learn the importance of fellowship? How is it when we have guests, nobody sticks their hand out? Hey, how you doing? It's good to see you. What's your name? What you doing? Because people need one another. We were not created to be an island. You're not by yourself in anything. Whatever we do affects one another, good or bad. Wow, it don't bother me. Yes, it does. It will. Maybe not today, but it will. Oh, hallelujah. So it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, blessed it, and brake, and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. So the king wants to fellowship with us. Because you can recognize Jesus when you're in fellowship. 1 John 1 and 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 32, and we're getting ready to close. And they said one to another, wait a minute now. You know, we time out for recounting facts. Don't understand what just happened. They said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Okay, wait a minute. You know most of the trip they was talking. Yes, sir. How come their heart wasn't burning in? It's recounting the facts. Jesus starts with truth. And their hearts start burning. Something happening on the inside because of truth, not facts. Because facts are subject to change. Truth doesn't. See, they knew something was happening when they were hearing the word. Okay, now let's see if you get this. Jesus broke down the word, but they didn't recognize Jesus until they had fellowship with the word. What did Jesus do when they sat down to eat? He broke the bread. He was breaking down the word. And when they broke down the word, they recognized the word. So y'all making me work this morning. That's what's needed in our lives, to break down the word of God, to break it down for us where we are. Because the interesting thing is, I look back over this whole parable, and I mean not parable but story, the whole thing, what I see is they started off with nothing but experiences and facts and all of this, and Jesus takes a little time and does the word, and it changes everything. What would happen if we decided to take a little time and do the word? How many situations are we dealing with on our own because we're not doing the word? How many things, you know, I've always said this, I don't see counseling in the Bible. I'm not saying you don't do counseling, I'm just saying, you know, it's if you do the word, it minimizes counseling time. I mean, when you counsel with somebody, what are they going to tell you other than the word?
That's good.
They took the time to break down the word, and then they saw God. What if we take the time to break down his word? Won't we see him? And isn't that what you really want, to see God in your situation? Not knowing that he's been walking with you all along, but you just didn't see him because you didn't break down his word. Every head bowed, eyes are closed. I'm done. I'm talking about walking with the King. I want to walk with him. This ain't about, what's your title? The Bible says one, do you realize there was two guys? You only get one name. But they both got the benefit. It has nothing to do with what their names was and everything to do with what they experienced in the presence of the living God, walking with him. We need to learn to walk with God, and to the point of walking with him where we break down his word. Well, Pastor, are you saying that we need to study? Yeah. The Bible says study to show ourselves approved as a workman that needeth not be ashamed. But here's the deal. It's one thing for us to quote it. It's another thing for us to live it. Let's live this word. Because that's the way you really walk with him. See, notice this. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, And the other women went to the gravesite looking for a body. We may look for the wrong thing, but watch this. When they discovered that he wasn't there, they went back and told them what they experienced. And watch this. Their experience lined up with the scriptures. See, when what you experience lines up with the scriptures, now you could talk about your experience because it's scriptural. So they come back talking about an empty tomb and no body. These two go off walking, talking about an empty tomb and no body and what was supposed to happen with Israel and all of this other stuff, and they're sad about it because their experience doesn't line up with scripture. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, as we're here today, God, your counsel and your wisdom is what we need as the people of God. But Lord, I'll be honest, your counsel, your wisdom, those are blessings. But Lord, your presence, walking with you is what each and every believer is designed to experience. God, you walked with Adam in the cool of the day. Adam and Eve knew what it was like to walk with the very voice of God. Father, I pray that as we as believers partake of walking with you, that we would come to understand the importance of breaking down the word of God for our lives and the lives of those individuals that are around us. That, Lord, the scriptures speak of who you are in our situations and in the situations that we will face. I pray, Lord, that as we stand today in need of your presence, God, help us to see that you've been with us all along. You said you never leave us nor forsake us. God, there's many of us today that are facing situations that, Lord, we're not comfortable with at all. But God, that's okay, because it's not the facts that matter, it's the truth. And Lord, you are truth. I pray, Father, that you would comfort us in accordance unto your word. Cause us to see the word in this situation. Whatever it is that we're facing, cause us to see your word. Because God, all that you do is good, because you are good. Now, Father, I pray if there's anyone here under the sound of my voice that doesn't know you as personal Lord and Savior, someone that may have been out of fellowship with you and doesn't know the importance of walking with you, I pray that they would recognize your death, your burial, and the resurrection that you have done on their behalf. You've already paid the penalty of sin. You've already forgiven them, but they need to receive it today. If there's anyone and they've never received your forgiveness of sins, or Lord, they're in a position where they've walked out of fellowship and they want to come back and rededicate themselves, Lord, today, grip their hearts. Grip their hearts with the fact that you want to walk with them and fellowship with them. You desire a personal relationship with them individually. God, they need to know you. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone under the sound of my voice, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart, Father, that you raised him from the dead, that they shall be saved in accordance unto your word. God, I thank you that Romans 10, 9, and 10 is true. And God, you took the scriptures and confounded the wise. So Lord, today, take the scriptures and God, all of the doubt, let it be erased and removed because of what you said, not the facts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Listen, if anybody's here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or maybe, listen, you're in a backslidden situation and you want to rededicate your life, I want to take this opportunity with the altar workers that are here to invite you. Jesus said, listen, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, and listen, you know what? You got to open the door. He expects you to open the door. He ain't going to bust the door down. Can he? Sure. But he allows you to exercise your free will. And then you know what he says? I'll come in and sup or fellowship with you. Jesus wants to be with you. He wants to be with you that bad. He's just waiting on the invitation. Is there anyone here? you said, listen, I want to make Christ the Lord of my life. Or you said, I want to rededicate my life. Is there anyone? Amen. If you will come forward. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Welcome back, man. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else? Oh, hallelujah. God, I thank you. Glory be to God. Amen. Well, let's put our hands together as we welcome my brother Chris back. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Hallelujah. If you all would take him to the back, please. Chris, we welcome you. God bless you. Amen. We're going to walk with the King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. Well, let's stand. That's all right. We get it. Thank you. Saints, let's walk with the King. I do want to say this as we close out. I've been sensing, and my wife and I have been talking about this, and if you would, just for a moment, I want to make sure that we all can hear this. I do believe that we're facing situations now. The Lord, I was in prayer, and I felt that the Lord said this. And I took it as a personal word, but I want to share it with you all, and you can judge it for your situation. I felt that he said that I'm going to see things, and I'm going to hear things, but don't be afraid. And the things that I am seeing and hearing in our world, it's absolutely crazy. You know, a whole lot of folks said the world was supposed to end yesterday. Hallelujah. You're going to see things, you're going to hear things, but don't be afraid. I believe where we're living at now, I'm going to be honest, you may not like this, but remember, everything God does is good. Some of you all are dealing with some things because it's driving you back to being with him. He loved you enough to turn up the heat to drive you back. I know you may, God, why I'm going through this? Look at what you was doing before. He's driving you back to being with him because this ain't no time to be playing. You need to know where you at for sure. So I just, whatever God does is good. Yes. I'm done.